at the point in time at which, you know, you traditionally, the Christian church traditionally says that you became a believer or you became a convert or whatever, that's simply the point in time and when you recognized that the beast was dead.
Mm-hmm. So it was the same stuff, it was just how you saw it?
Yeah. Okay, so foolishly, as I look back to a point when a little while ago I said, I died, what I'm really looking back to is a point in time when I realized that I was dead.
That's what it means. The
right.
Same as you received him, so walk you in him. I mean, it doesn't matter whether somebody, forget what you think about what it means to receive him. For the moment, understand that it means when you recognized that he was in you. Now, the only time you ever recognized that he was in you, in truth, was when you knew you were dead. This death, the beast, it's lying that it was, you know, had the appearance of being risen from the dead, was a lie.
And you said there was no hope.
Right, and you said, therefore, there's no hope. Now, the process then, the end result of the fullness of the apprehension of that, is that you abandon yourself. It doesn't mean, it's just like the child, again, we are writing to you little children, we're writing to you adolescents, we're writing to you fathers, it has nothing to do with you. When you were, you know, you were the quote natural man, the Gentile, all that other stuff is just a way of saying, you know, before you knew who you were. You understand?
You know, it still sticks in my mind. It's like, if this was all done, and it's all finished, and we're all dead, what are we doing here?
One thing.
What?
You are not doing anything. Now you are the body of Christ.
Yeah, well, why did God create us?
To bring forth the bride.
Why didn't that happen a long time ago?
It did.
So that leads me back to, what are we doing here?
Your consciousness of linear time is the lie.
Yeah.
From God's standpoint, it's finished.
Yeah, so why aren't we just all dust?
But there's still time.
Look, if God spoke and it was finished.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. From our perspective, it looks like it's a process.
Right.
Okay, why did that have to be that way?
Because we didn't see it as finished.
No. From God's standpoint, it was that way in order that it was fully tested. Again, the gold ore.
So
you're a hunk
test?
Of quartz, and God looks at it and had it assayed and said it's pure gold, and it weighs 144,000 ounces. Okay, you look at it and you say it weighs 50,000 tons and it's all quartz.
Uh-huh.
God says, because he has total trust in the process, he said, no, it weighs 144,000 ounces and it's finished, it's done, it's mine. Now, if your identity is on the container of the gold during this process, you're going to think this is terrible. If your identity is on that which you contain, then you too see it's a finished process.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah, well, I just don't understand why God's doing this. I mean, I don't understand.
You keep using doing. The more you use
why?
Doing, why has he done it?
Yeah.
Okay, he did it. Because it was, first of all, obviously it's his nature, but that's the easiest question. I mean, the easiest answer. The second reason he did it is because he desired fellowship.
Okay. And that's the one thing he can't create?
That's right. Without it going, being tested by against everything else.
Okay. Great. I get it.
I mean, he has to have made everything else available to test, to tempt, to try to draw away.
Uh-huh.
In order, that's why all these things, from God's standpoint, are sexual.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're planning to build a house or making it. From God's standpoint, it's sexual. You are committing adultery under every green tree, at every high place. Now, God, and then so the idiot, which is us, says, "Oh my God, I shouldn't do that."
Uh-huh.
God says, "Have your fill of it, so that you're fully tested."
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One short question for you. And out of time, this has all always been. Is that correct?
Hmm?
Out of time. You were talking about.
Out of time, it's finished, yeah.
It was always.
You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world.
Really, you can't, yeah. When you're saying out of time, you can't even use the word always.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
Do you see, time is the womb.
Yeah.
But it...
Yeah.
I mean, all analogies fail. You can only use bunches of them to...
piece
it together. But back to this question of Harry's, the point of it is, once you recognize that, then you abandon self. The abandonment of self is the natural outcome of the reckoning that you're crucified.
Yeah.
It's impossible to give breath to self if you see, reckoning isn't an, it's, we think of it as a mental gymnastic. But it's not. It's the seeing of the eternal truth. Now, what part does preaching play in all this? And what part does faith? Am I communicating at all here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at some point I checked out.
I know.
I got lost someplace. I think I don't know.
Well, then I'm not communicating.
When it was. I mean, I was feeling. Maybe it's too. Maybe it's just too big a bite. But I was. There was something incredible going on in here.
Yeah, I was feeling real peaceful, and like explosions were going off, and then I shut it down.
When I was realizing that this was, I was experiencing that this is a dead. But now I'm off into some kind of esoteric, trying to understand something. I just ran away from that moment.
Well, let's go on to Romans 11. I mean, Hebrews 11. Bible scholar. What?
You said that when you were talking to Harry about a point in time when you quote unquote were born again, it's a time of recognizing your death.
That you never existed.
But in fact, that's really not true, because if we really recognized our death, then we'd see that it's his life and not ours. Then we'd see it was finished and we wouldn't be here anymore. So
yeah, but no. Then you wouldn't be fully tested. God, you have to trust that the process is also God. You always think you make a mistake when you don't remember the right thing, or when you don't do the right thing, or, you know, you can't make a mistake. You can't, before we go to Hebrews, go back to 2 Corinthians. You never understand this one either. 2 Corinthians 13, maybe this will be the kicker. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Romans First Corinthians, Second Corinthians.
I'm there.
Show Dolly.
Okay, what do you? I mean, what would the reason? There's only one reason you don't believe what I say. Only one.
Yeah, because I don't
know God.
No.
Too simple. You consider the source.
That's right. You consider the source.
Everybody laughs.
No.
Listen to me.
That's not why I don't believe.
Okay, watch. Just tell me. You can argue against the scripture. Verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Is everybody reading 2 Corinthians? 13, verse 3.
Oh, verse 3, okay.
Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Well, don't say, I mean, every one of you secretly believe, if you haven't thought about it, if you think about it, you'll believe it, that if Jesus Christ, according to your understanding, were here after the flesh, then you would believe him. Right?
Right. Because he would act nice. He'd show up and he'd be a good guy and he'd say, that's the man.
Now, don't say uh-uh.
He'd have a little halo.
Don't say uh-uh.
I'm definitely dubious.
If you knew it was God incarnate, that was standing in front of you, and if he was God incarnate, then any question that you ask, he could answer. Anything that would happen, he could heal. Whatever was necessary to you, you would desire to see God speaking to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? This isn't optional. It's not that you have a... Well, no, I think I would, and then no, I think I wouldn't. That's bullshit. If you have said that God is a viable possibility in your life, then you desire to see him. You desire not just to see him, you desire to hear him, and you desire much more than that with regard to him. Now, Jesus said this incredible thing. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Paul is saying this incredible thing. He's saying the same thing. You seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Then you would believe. Then you would understand. Then you would have faith. Well, look what he says. Which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Does that, I get the feeling that, or I just lost everybody.
That last question, I can see
that it's a real, real, real important question. It's like, that's what we're getting at. That you have to know that solid, because I was thinking about, my mind was quickly following that you know, you're in the position of Christ at this moment saying, you know, or Paul saying, you want to have Christ sitting in front of you. And then I'm saying, you know, well, all these other people are Christ. Wow. But he wants you to say, Christ is in here.
That's interesting.
Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? The evidence that you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me is that you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you.
if you don't know he's in you, then you never know.
Okay, then the part that throws me is you say Jesus Christ is in you, so I start hunting around inside my head somewhere for a little Jesus. Or, you know, or some sign that he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid, but
have
that's what I do.
Okay, now watch. Let's go onward. Let's go on here. Examine yourselves. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Tested. Know you not that your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that... Now, he's saying, except, first of all, you see what he's doing? He's going to him, to you, back to him, to you. Now he's saying, I trust that you will know that... We are not reprobate. But now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Do you understand?
No.
Okay.
I don't understand a word you're saying because I still do not agree. And the original question is, why don't you believe? And I do not agree that the reason I don't believe is because I seek approval of Christ speaking in you. You answered the question by going to a scripture that says what you're saying.
No, no, listen. I'm not there yet. Keep going. Again, try to, you know, again, our minds always take scripture and turn it around because we don't see it through the cross. Now, verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved. Do you get that connection?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he said over in Galatians? He said, they are you that desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised or change, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's just another way of saying the same thing. Okay. I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth. This isn't connecting in some of you.
Yes, it is.
I can't hear. I don't know what's going on.
Are we discussing the question, why don't you believe? I don't see how this relates to that.
Between 7 and 8, you know, something's missing.
Lord. What's a reprobate? Maybe that's what the problem is.
Yeah. I always thought of it as a person who like violates some rules or is, you know, kind of like the bad guy.
Somebody who doesn't believe. One who's incapable of seeing.
Yeah.
One, a reprobate is one who is incapable of repentance.
Okay,
then who is a reprobate?
Me.
Human race.
Yeah.
What is the unforgivable sin? What is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?
Denying Him.
Unbelief.
Yeah, saying it's not real.
You don't deny Jesus by saying He doesn't exist.
You're saying He's not.
You deny Jesus by saying you exist. You don't deny Jesus by saying you don't understand. You deny Jesus by not turning from self. At the moment you do not turn from self At the moment you struggle with a problem, you are reprobate. Then God, by His Spirit, by preaching, by the Word, comes against you and causes your own worst fear to come upon you, that you be without hope. In that instance, then He is resurrected. He's always been resurrected, but that resurrection takes place in that arena of your mind.
Gets recognized.
Okay, well, I'm currently struggling with a problem.
Right.
What I call a problem. What I'm calling a problem is that at one point this evening I found myself in a state of seeing that I was dead. Then I found myself, I continue to find myself in a state of not seeing that I'm dead, and I'm calling that a problem that I'm struggling with.
Right.
Because I want to return to the state that I was in. It
felt like
how do you get there?
See, I don't say the words because the words don't mean anything. All I know is that suddenly it came upon me that I was in a more pleasant state than suddenly came upon me this state.
Okay. What that state you're in, number one, is you think it not strange concerning the trial that's happened to you, as though a strange thing had happened to you, but reckon also that at that point in time you are outside the camp. If you're outside the camp, there's no hope.
And if I see that?
If you see that,
then I'm back in the
state. Then you've reckoned yourself crucified. You've reckoned yourself outside the camp. You've borne His reproach outside the camp.
And it can happen that fast.
Quicker.
Or it can take a long time if I want to stay out there and say, I'm alive, but I'm outside the camp.
It can take forever.
That's what you said, I'm no hope earlier.
Now let's look at something interesting. Do you understand? You can do nothing against the truth. That's the endemic part of this. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews 11.
Just thinking about it, if you sat there and said, "Yes, I can," that means that's the root of self-divinity.
Oh, power.
Yeah. Yes, power. Just God, I can. Mm-hmm. I've got power.
Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read through this chapter quickly. Okay? And then we're going to come back and talk about a particular. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without it, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I mean, do you understand? He was in the land of the promise, but he still looked for something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through faith, also, Sarah received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. From our standpoint, since the day of Pentecost, that's the whole human race. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city in heaven. Not someplace over here. Not something after the flesh. Okay, so that we see so far that something is going on with all this by faith, that faith has something to do with that which is not seen. That was true from Abel, and by that he yet speaketh. That was true with Abraham, that was true with Noah, that was true with Enoch, that was true with Abram and Sarah. All of them, faith had something to do with something that couldn't be seen. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's important to understand it, because you always want faith to be seen, to be perceived with the senses. And every time you want that, what happens? You get fucked up. Mm-hmm. Just like you were a minute ago.
Okay.
Okay, now listen. By faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son.
I just realized something. I say that what I want is to understand, but the truth is I want to see and experience by my senses.
Right.
Not understand.
Right.
You want to receive something for your faith, from your faith.
I don't want to have faith. I don't want to be in faith. I want to feel.
You want to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to feel bad.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it.
Therefore, your testimony with regard to God stuff is always dependent
on feeling good.
On feeling or understanding or something.
Yeah, it's never what is. It's this will make you feel good.
And again,
say that understanding equals feeling good.
Yeah, and I just say that to you, don't be ashamed of that. That's a childish thing. But now it's time to put away childish things.
See, I use those words interchangeably. When I understand, feel good, understand.
I was just thinking, what I've always done is I've looked around and I've seen my circumstances and I've seen places where I don't understand, and I've thought, well, when I understand, when do things change? You know, that'll mean I have faith. That'll mean I'm where I'm supposed to be. But I'm just saying tonight that what it means is that when it's like that, I just turn around. I throw it away. It's like a piece of gum that's all chewed up.
Yeah. Yeah. A better example is you sit around and drink water when you're thirsty, uh-huh. And you must want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. It's just wild. He's there. That's what he says. He's
yeah.
there the whole time.
Now let's go on, huh?
Don't pay any attention. It was disgusting.
Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now who is Isaac?
Child of the promise.
The child of the promise. Again, the type is what you see. You see the pattern, the figure. You see Christ. You see Christ in Isaac. The promise went to the seed. Well, you're running around looking like Abraham, without hope. because you know that all at your best, at your very best, you as the after the flesh can only be a friend of the bridegroom. The bride is that which is coming forth from the mystery within us. But we are part of that bride, but yet in our flesh all we can ever do is be a friend of the bridegroom.
Amen. I just saw something massive about Abraham. God didn't say, hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you gold and palaces and a credit card and a Cadillac.
So he's going to give you a seed.
He said, I'm going to give you a seed that will be realized at some point long after you're gone. And he just got old and died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were talking about being a friend of the bridegroom. I mean, that feeling I always have of being right next to the bride and looking at it, but not able to be a part of it, is correct.
It's correct.
I've always thought it was incorrect.
Yeah, no, it's correct. The bride is what's coming forth from the mystery, from the fire that's burning, passing through it. That's why the propensity for the salvation of the isolated self is the evidence of the beast's aliveness. The propensity to want to understand, quote unquote, is an evidence of the beast's aliveness. All a beast can do is to say there's no hope.
All Abraham got then was the promise that something would happen.
And he saw the day of Christ and was glad.
Himself didn't get his wife. He just got old.
What is
it?
Yes.
Got his wife got old and died.
Then his children got old and died.
Ripped off again.
Okay, well, listen. How long have I talked to you about the idea that the salvation of the isolated self isn't going to take place? But you still think about it. Therefore, I come at you in a different way, and I said, man, when time is no more, in that instant it'll be as though you awoke from a dream, and for as long as you can remember 99% of your dreams, it'll be as long as you remember this life. You're raised in glory. You're raised incorruptible. All you can do in this time and space is be a friend of the bridegroom. That's why I get so furious. These idiots in the name of Christ who talk about, you know, they use 10,000 different ways of saying it, but that's all the self divinity. But that's what each one of you want. If you didn't want it, then you'd be satisfied. You'd be happy for the bridegroom.
Stay jealous.
Best man.
Okay, let's go on. I mean, that's why this is so... I mean, this is big time difference. You understand?
Yeah. Okay, wait. Yeah. The friend, the best man, the bridegroom. The desire is the marriage.
That's what's coming forth out of you. That's why I've taught the married people that from their standpoint, in order that they will ever have anything in terms of happiness vis-a-vis a relationship, is they must see the marriage as the third party. That neither one, all they can do is be friends of the marriage.
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing
it. Okay, let's go on. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, or in a type, or in a parable. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau according concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which was, you know, is a title. I mean, he was heir apparent, he was the next Pharaoh. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now that, if you read about Moses, Moses didn't choose to suffer affliction. If you read his story, he killed a fellow Egyptian, and for it, there was a price on his head, and he fled the country. But faith says that because of that, he chose the reproaches of Christ rather than the riches. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Okay. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Bullshit. After the flesh, he fled for his life because he feared the wrath of the king. But in the spirit, that's which what we must see. What?
It's funny. It's like he wrote this.
Huh?
It's like he wrote this.
Yeah, he wrote this wanting to look good. He forgot they were going to put the other part in there.
He thought they'd clean up the story for him.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with the, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Okay, and then what happened to Moses? He didn't get to inherit the promise after all that.
Mm-hmm.
He got old and died.
He had died to inherit the promise.
Probably had prostate.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Why? Because now you are the body of Christ, along with them, and members in particular. There is no such thing as the salvation of the isolated self. Your identity changes. You become the bride of Christ. Now let's talk about faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's see if we can see this a little bit differently. No, not Lee, but differently. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance. Hupostasis in the Greek, meaning the undergirding, the foundation. Hoped for is elpizo, which means anticipated with desire. Desire with pleasure, expect with joy. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence. Elenkos. Just a minute. Reproof. Convict. Tell a fault. Test. Examine. Refuting an opponent. Admonish, exhort, rebuke. Put to test. It's a Greek term that's a technical term for the rules of, it's the idea of testing in the jurisprudence in a court. It's the evidence. That means it's in a point of antagonism. Faith is the instrument of antagonism. But it's at the same time the substance or the foundation for the thing hoped for. What is the singular thing hoped for from God's standpoint? The New Jerusalem, the city that all these were looking for. If you seek that first, every needful thing shall be made unto you. If you don't seek that first, then you're praying to the wrong God. So faith becomes the thing that convicts you of sin. The same word in the New Testament, where in John 16, where it says that sin, that he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. It's elenkos. It's the convicting. Faith convicts of everything that is not in the New Jerusalem, or the New City. That's why it's so sickening to preach faith as the instrument of exchange. It couldn't be a more clear evidence of Bel, the god of this world, the god of the Antichrist, how to get anything, even understanding.
This thing about evidence, it sounds like antagonize one another daily while it is yet called today.
That's what rebuke means.
Test, rebuke one another daily.
Exhort.
Reveal faith through it daily while it is yet called today.
You understand? Do you understand faith a little bit differently tonight?
Yeah. And left to ourselves, yeah. We didn't think about it.
It's sort of like the acid for it.
But it's that which brings forth the evidence, therefore it must be the conviction. But you can't, you know, it's the same. But that becomes, that process is the substance or foundation of the New Jerusalem.
That's the connection with the Old Testament, the Torah. I mean, it's
the same.
It's there, it's, yeah.
What did you just say about the foundation of the New Jerusalem?
Faith is the foundation of the New Jerusalem.
That's what substance of things hope for me?
Yeah.
Now, the foundation of the New Jerusalem is the 12 jewels, right?
Well, we'll get to that later.
So faith is the construction of...
Wait until we get to the temple. Yeah, y'all just say yeah.
The members of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sorry.
Faith is the...
Now you are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. The body of Christ is the temple.
Knit together in love.
Right. Faith that worketh by love. It doesn't appear to be. You know, when I scream at you, it doesn't appear like I love you at all. Everybody understand?
Yes.
That's also the same picture of the mercy seat and judgment seat.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You're on the judgment seat. You can't get off it. That's why in the process, you saw it in the hot seat. How many times?
Never.
Well, you haven't seen it. But every one of, yeah, several of you have seen it. But everyone on the hot seat had to come because they were barraged and their whole false identity was revealed. They had to come to the point of saying there is no hope. And then that false identity was bound and cast into the sea.
Yeah. But yet that's what we fight, to not say that. To not say there is a problem. Mm-hmm.
His resurrection is the power. It's his own power. He doesn't need your help. That's what... Okay. Now do you see why you can glory in tribulation? Now do you see why you're thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try you? Now you stop glorying when you understand it, and forget it. You still think you come here to learn something. You don't. You come here to unlearn.
Come here to get antagonized.
Because by God's mystery, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy, because Louie's hungry.
Amen.
We blame it on Louie.